Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Safety Wars. Oh yeah, we are here. Maybe you are not. Hold on. Yes, we are here from the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to the north. Wow, for some reason I cannot hear in the earphones, but that's okay. You know, I used to look at a lot of these broadcasters, right? It could have been on radio, it could have been on TV, it could have been anywhere, right? Where, they screwed up on something. They screwed up here. They screwed up there. Even, you know, the great broadcasters on this network, they sometimes there's an audio issue or what have you. And as you get experienced in here, you know, you figure out, oh, wow. Same thing happened to me. So it happens to them, it happens to me. Yeah, no, whatever. Anyway, welcome to Safety Wars for Wednesday, May 21st, 2025. I hope you enjoyed the discussion on this book last night, Safety in My Opinion by Dr. Jay Allen. You want to go over to Amazon and check it out. Right? It's on audio, it's on Kindle, it's on hard copy. I recommend the hard copy. Always recommend the hard copy. Don't tell my wife. Right? She's like, books. When we moved into our first house, she was like, how many books do you have? I got a lot. Because we had a library. And our first, the previous owner set up an actual library. That was very popular in that neighborhood. Every house has like a library, like an old-fashioned study in there. And why should I be any different? She says, did you actually read all these books? And I said, yes. And she said, no wonder why you have these covers. And this is way before Safety Wars, right? So I'm here to share that information with you. I'm here to educate. I'm here to do a lot of things here with you. And that's one of them. Now, the other thing, right, let me clear up something. I was wrong on some numbers last night. It's like $38 an hour, the average. Not 28, 38, the wage I was contacted by. Whatever, yeah, I make mistakes on that, but I'm coming right out to tell you. I made a boo-boo. And what else is going on? A lot of stuff, right? So I want to make sure nobody misunderstood what I said last or misconstrued it. I am not going out there and saying it's okay and morally acceptable for people to do X, Y, and Z, put things online, go on right these platforms and do charge things for doing what some would call immoral and everything else. I'm not here to judge people. I'm not the judge. I'm not God. Right? I'm just a guy on the radio. But you have to understand the context. Desperate times, people do desperate things. The way it is. People live in communities. It's like I always had this issue. Right? I'm pretty well traveled because of my career here. Been all over the world, I've been in, not all over the world, but all over the country, right? I've been to Europe a couple of times, I've been Eastern Europe, Western Europe, right? I have relatives overseas. I work with foreign companies and everything else. People do not have all the opportunities that we have, right? And when we deal with a lot of these Northeastern people, and sometimes it's Southwestern, like LA, Northeastern, and they assume they're great and the whole rest of the nation that's flyover country, where they don't know any better. They're hicks. Yeah, I've heard that. You know, hicks. They don't know what's going on. They're uneducated, blah, 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 rednecks, every name in the book. All right, fair enough. They don't have a lot of the opportunities that we have in the Northeast. Education systems falling apart, not offered. I mean, I hear horror stories all the time. But that does not deprive them from basic human rights and dignity and respect. And let's remember something. People in New York City that are interested in paper all the time, right? They're doing there's not a lot of value in there. Who are the people at the tip of the spear? It's the people in middle America. It's the lower income people. The people who make that choice to go into the trades, right? They're the ones that get out of their trade schools making 70, 80, 90 grand a year while you're have 90, 80, 90, $100,000 more in student debt. They have no debt and they're making money. It's a working kind of thing, hands-on thing. A lot of people don't have that opportunity. So they do things on the internet, OnlyFans, right? And there are others where they charge for doing all different types of things. Maybe that's the best thing you can do. You don't know their situation. You don't know their context. You can't go around condemning people all the time. Same thing in the inner city and back in my day in the 80s. Well, the people in the inner city should stop committing crimes, stealing things. Those are big things, right? There's car theft in the 1980s before we had all the anti-theft devices on. It still happens, right, for different reasons. Well, when that's all that they have, and you have the gangs running the situation and the politicians not enforcing laws, what do you expect to happen? But more gang activity and everything else. If you have people, the authorities not enforcing tax law, what do you think you're going to get more of? People not paying their taxes. So the whole thing, all comes down there. And what's the safety related? Well, guess what? Psychological safety. There's all different kinds of safety. Psychological, vehicle safety, financial safety, all different things. So before you go around condemning these folks for doing different things, realize that, one, somebody I can almost guarantee somebody is involved in that stuff, right? And that's a given, number one. Number two is learn to understand their situation. Maybe that's the best they could do, they feel. Maybe they were taught to do that. Maybe they were taught to be, maybe they're in an exploitation type of situation. Maybe they're kidnapped. That happens. I mean, look at the allegations that are going on in these high-profile crimes out there. Epstein being one, right? And the other one is now we have Sean P. Diddy Combs over there in New York on trial. And I tell you what, my prediction, if this is the best they got, guess what? He's done. I'm sorry, if this is the best they got, he's getting acquitted. That's my opinion. I've looked at a little bit of this trial. I've listened to other commentators out there. So learn the context. Don't be so judgmental. That is my point on all this stuff. So let's go to commercial. And that's part of what this is. Book, your perceptions. Ask better questions. That's a running theme. Ask better questions. Let's go, and we're going to go to commercial break, and then we're going to run into it. By the way, I plan on doing like a little movie like that, a pre-show with music, people don't like that AI music all the time in the show during the regular show. So we're going to have a pre-show every day with that. And no, as I'm able to. I can't say every day. I can't make promises. Here's a commercial.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It's definitely, it will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozell with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
I need the heat to get me rolling. Burning bright like morning's golden. Fuel me up with dreams I'm holding. Spark the air, let's get it going. Oh, oxygen fills my lungs, I'm breathing. Every whisper feels like fleeting. Fires dance with no retreating. Hold me tight, let's chase this feeling.
And that is Fire Tetrahedron, the Fire Dance by Safety Warrior. Yes, it's always Safety Warrior songs. Anyway, a lot of news today. A couple of things. We're going to get to our main story, which is the Patterson Bakery incident. But here we have Trump ambushes, and it's from the NPR. NPR. Trump ambushes South Africa's president with false claims of white genocide. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa walked into an ambush when he met President Trump in the Oval Office on Wednesday. After a cordial beginning where Ramaphosa was at pains to stress his desire to improve relations with the United States, things turned hostile. Trump repeated false claims of a white genocide in South Africa, then ordered the lights dimmed to play videos he said supported his allegation. Ramaphosa attempted to correct the U.S. leader, but mostly got talked over, explaining the videos of opposition politician Julius Malema singing an apartheid-era struggle song called Kill the Boer, which means farmer or Afrikaner, did not represent government policy. Now, I've spoken to a lot of people here that I know from South Africa. Believe it or not, there is like a South African Afrikaner I don't want to say community, but they seem to hang out a lot together over in Rockland County, northern New Jersey area. And I asked a couple of these folks. I said, number one, now, with any coverage on South Africa, it doesn't go right down the middle, ever. It's either the most beautiful country that you've ever seen. And this is from people who live there. Right? It's either the most beautiful country you've ever seen. It's wonderful. Tears well up in their eyes. Or it's completely the opposite, where it's a complete hellhole. There is nothing in the middle here. Right? And I've spoken to people, you know, I must have spoken to at least 20 South Africans. And, you know, I don't know where the truth lies here. I think somewhere in the middle, where there are areas where there may be lawlessness, where stuff is happening, where white farmers are being killed there. And I think the opposite is also true, where there are areas where everybody gets along. I don't know who to believe on this one. I don't. How about I believe everybody? Right? That seems to be it. Depending on your point of view, depending on your experience. And that is why you should go and read this book by Jay Allen, Safety, My Opinion. Goes into a little bit of that on your own perceptions of things. Here we have some OSHA news, and this is from Schaefer News, Seehafer. Seehafernews.com. I've never heard of it. I don't even know where this is from, but it's not OSHA News. Manitowoc County's representative in Washington is looking to cut red tape at the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. While speaking during the meeting of the House Committee on Education Workforce, 6th District Congressman Glenn Grothman says that the Biden administration relied on outdated one-size-fits-all regulations that don't reflect today's workforce and realities on the ground. He went on to note that it also considers critical distinctions in worksite conditions. How does OSHA justify imposing identical obligations on such broad and diverse range of workplaces? The question he asked was directed toward Felicia Watson, a senior counsel at a law firm, Littler Mendelson, a very prominent law firm, by the way. I've heard of them in the industry. She says that the process is supposed to protect workers because job sites can change daily, especially at places like construction sites. And so that, quote, and so that constant changing is not helpful, she told the subcommittee. I think that the concern among stakeholders that I've been spoken with is that if you treat everyone exactly the same, limited flexibility makes it difficult to get a real best plan that for that specific thing, right? So let's talk about this. You have performance-based regulations and you have command and control. Those are two types that we normally deal with. Command and control are this. You will do X, Y, and Z. Right, performance-based is different. It's, we have this regulation. We have this goal, and we're going to work towards that goal. Right, when you're going to meet those things, you figure out how you're going to do it. I think they're talking more on the, heat stress standard, which is there's some public meetings on that coming up, but. No, that's their, I believe that's the context. I could be wrong. However, the it gives. No, I've heard this. Well, that doesn't necessarily apply to us. We don't know how to do this. It's not feasible for us to do it. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. It is feasible if you have it in the budget. You have the training. You have the education. You have the equipment. Maybe it's not feasible for you to do X, Y, and Z because you haven't afforded in time to work correctly and given your employees and have them, you know, fulfill the right to a safe and healthful workplace for your recognized hazards. Right? Everything comes from the general duty clause. You have the right to a safe and healthful workplace. There's a lot of workplaces out there that feel that they don't have a right to that. We're doing you a favor by coming here. And by the way, it goes the other way around. A lot of workers feel, hey, one of my clients got into this with their workers. We're doing a favor for you, so you're not going to tell us what to do. We're doing a favor coming to work. So they didn't want to do a whole bunch of stuff that was in the plan for them to do, that wasn't their thing, in their corporate culture. Death of a SF recology worker at Tunnel Avenue facility under OSHA investigation. This is at the San Francisco Brisbane Tunnel Avenue facility. The one's a story from a couple of days ago. All right. The Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration has launched an investigation, as reported by KTVU, right, where a victim, Alfred Romero, a 61-year-old longtime ecology mechanic from Fremont, died Friday morning at his company's recycling facility on Tunnel Avenue, located on the San Francisco versus Fame border. Recology has, right, I guess that's the name of the company. Usually not our policy to release it, so I apologize there. Romero, a member of Teamster Local 350, was remembered by the union in a public statement expressing shock and sorrow. Brother Romero was more than a skilled tradesman. He was a dependable co-worker, a dedicated union brother, a vital part of our Local 350 family. His loss is very deeply felt by all who knew him and a heartbreaking thing. Now, we'll keep an eye on that as we're able to. But let me point out something to you. My brother was a union warehouse worker in the Teamsters for many, many, many years, like 25 years. When do you think the union ever came there and talked about safety? Didn't happen. How many union projects are you on now? I know I'm on several. I've been on several over the last couple of years where there was health, legitimate safety issues. The the facility didn't want to correct. And the union said, oh, well, we got a deal made with them. You know, we can't rock the boat too much. So now, and I got into it with one union guy, one fatality. Oh, we missed this guy, and he was so good and so good. Oh, I said to him, the accident was perfectly preventable. Did you love him enough? After about a week of this, did you love him enough? Right? And that's all I'm asking for is that. Love your brother, fellow person, your fellow human being. Did you love him enough to make him, to stop him from working unsafely? Because the culture at that firm was, well, hey, you don't tell me what to do. You're not the boss. And somebody was okay there. Guy was drinking on the job. Well, you're okay with him operating. You're okay with him operating heavy equipment drunk. You didn't stop him. Oh no, I can't stop him. Oh no. We keep things in. Oh, okay. Right. And remember, it's not the average worker that does that. It's the supervisors normally, or the bullies, or the leaders. And we know how we define leaders. They can be defined in many, many different ways. Very sickening here for me. I'm sorry. After that, and that was one of before my hop days where I said that. Maybe I shouldn't have said it, but it hit him square in the eyes there. Well, I don't know. Do you love your fellow human being and your worker and your coworkers enough to get them to stop working unsafely, doing stupid things at work to get them killed? If you're a union member, and your union is your union going out and looking after you and coming to your workplace and saying saying to management, why aren't you correcting these hazards? That's another question. And if you're a company owner and management, why are you okay with not providing a safe and healthful workplace like you're supposed to under federal law? This is from OHSonline.com. OSHA updates workplace inspection program. U.S. Department of Labor's OSHA announced it has updated the inspection program that directs agency enforcement resources to establishments with the highest rates of injuries and illnesses based on injury and illness data submitted in accordance with OSHA record-keeping requirements. The site-specific targeting program, here we got a link. Do we go to a, yes, this is all that became effective yesterday. So this is what we're going to do. I haven't looked through this. We're going to download, and I will look this up here. Probably have it tomorrow with this, God willing. A lot of stuff going on. We were just awarded a very large project yesterday. It was nice. The site-specific targeting program is OSHA's primary planned inspection program for non-construction establishments with 20 more or more people, using OSHA Form 300A data for the calendar year 2021 to 2023. Establishments may be selected on for inspection based on heat injury and illness, high injury and illness rates from 2023 data, upwardly trending injury illness rates over those years, and injury and illness rates marked below industry averages, markedly below industry average. I think that probably means that they think you're lying on those forms. We all know. Companies don't report everything all the time, right? The new directive replaces the previous SST program directive issued February 7, 2023. OSHA also uses national and local emphasis programs to target high-risk industries. Learn more about those emphasis programs. This is from WJCL.com. OSHA reports detailed severe injuries and fatalities at a car maker mega site in Bryan County, Georgia. You pass this by. If you're in the neighborhood, you pass this by from the interstate. I forget which interstate. I passed this place by a couple of times. So there were... So the following information details severe worker injuries and deaths. So basically, they had in April 2023, they had more than $20,000 in fines from a worker who was struck here and killed from blunt force trauma. And then in December 2023, there was another injury, a fracture to the leg. February 16, 2024, a head injury. February 22nd, 2024. Yeah, I remember this. Two employees were moving a metal transformer panel when it fell, pinning one employee to the ground. Fractures in the L3 and L4 vertebrae. And the list goes on and on and on. So, again, with that. Lawmakers. This is from Safety and Health Magazine. Lawmakers debate purpose behind House subcommittee meeting in OSHA, on OSHA. In the eyes of Representative Ryan McKenzie, Republican of PA, the House Workforce Protections Subcommittee hearing on May 15th was for employers that are seeking clarity and flexibility in OSHA standards. To Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, was another chance for Republicans to demonize OSHA. The title of the hearing was Reclaiming OSHA's Mission, Ensuring Worker Safety with Outreach. I got to download that. In large part, the subcommittee majority and its witnesses focused on what they considered one-size-fits-all proposed heat rule from OSHA and an unrealized tree care standard. As the nature of work continues to change, broad-based regulatory efforts can unintentionally create more problems than they solve, McKenzie, who chairs the subcommittee, said in an opening statement. I disagree with the gentleman there. All right, I want specific examples. Often what happens is the companies do not want to go and seek out safety info. So we had a story here last week of one company where OSHA did all the work for them, told them what they had to do, and issued them a $4,900 fine eventually. And then they didn't do anything for a year. OSHA came back, whacked them for a $250,000, something like that. Proposed penalty. They negotiated it down to $140,000. Again, that's not complicating things. That is repeat. They had repeat violations there. That's just not caring, my opinion, my experience with that. They're talking about NIOSH cuts and tree standard care. You know, we'll go into it. There, I want to get to this whole story in Paterson, New Jersey, which I find fascinating here. So, with that. All right. What else we got going on here? Okay, we're going to take a brief commercial break, and we'll come back to you here. Hold on. Boom, 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 boom. Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Posel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant. That's Safety Wars. Join the safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Okay, we are back. Here we have, I wanted to talk about this facility. I've been there before. This is actually a pretty popular bakery in Paterson, New Jersey. A city-based commercial bakery will pay $180,000 in penalties and take steps to improve workplace safety after federal officials found it failed to correct serious violations. And this is from Gabrielle Dragone from Tappan to Patterson here. Take steps to improve workplace. A federal official found it failed to correct serious violations that led to a worker's partial finger amputation. The settlement comes nearly a year after OSHA initially cited the bakery following a June 2023 investigation. The probe was launched after an employee suffered a partial amputation to their fingers while working at the company's Patterson facility. And according to OSHA, the agreed upon abatement measures include 1. Forming a safety committee with an employee and management. Hiring a third-party safety consultant to conduct regular safety audits. I guess they're being paid in baked goods, maybe. I don't know. Posting safety signage and providing safety training both English and Spanish. We can help you out on that. Creating a daily safety checklist and installing security cameras to monitor exit route safety. And introducing new engineering controls and performing spot checks and proper lockout or tagout procedures. So I looked up this facility in on the OSHA website here. So it has the initial. Let me go and for your people viewing this, we're going to do a share screen. Boom, boom, boom. Hold on. Share screen. And here we go. All right. So that's what we're looking at. Now, it's a government website, so in case you're a new person here, government websites are allowed to share without any type of problem. It's the, private websites, unless there's exceptions. I normally do not share those. So here we have the initial violations from the closing conference was 6-9-2023 here, right? And the initial penalties totaled were too serious, right? And they settled for $8,036. And right, some other than serious one, they settled for $670. Now, this is what here. This is what I don't really like here. Right, they have a contested penalty here also. Hold on. Okay, here we have. So here we have the contested penalty, contested it, and it was $193,572 penalty. They settled here for a lot less, $40,687.62. So that's significant. I mean, they contested things. They must have had one hell of a good attorney, is all I have to say. For 1910-147C4, procedures are not developed, documented, and utilized for the control of potentially hazardous energy when employees are engaged in activities covered by this section. The Doe divider. The employer failed to develop, document, and utilize procedures for the control of hazardous mechanical energy. The employer failed to ensure that employees were locking out energy sources before placing hands inside the Doe divider. An employee sustained 2 partial finger amputations due to contact with the automatic blade when reaching inside to remove excess dough on or about June 5th, 2023. Abatement documentation is required for this item in accordance with the requirements of 29 CFR 1903.19D. All right. So this was a number 2 here, 1910-2012-A01. General requirements for all machines. One or more methods of machine guarding was not provided to protect the operator and other employees in the machine area from hazards such as those created by point of operation, incoming nip points, rotating parts, flying chips, and sparks. So here we have the Doe divider. One or more methods of machine guarding was not provided to protect the operator from hazards created from the rotating parts on the interior of the machine. Employees working in the area of the machine were exposed to pinch points on or about June 9th. There is no abatement certification or documentation required for this. And let's try another one. It's from the 13th of 2023, 11-13. The employer did not provide, 1904-40, the employer did not provide an authorized government representative the records within 4 business hours. The employer failed to provide copies of the injury and illness records to an authorized representative. The employer did not provide records of workplace injuries or illnesses on the OSHA Form 300 or equivalent on or about June 9th. And the abatement certification documentation is required here. Again, they settled for $669. It was an $893 penalty. This, you know, and let me share this with you folks. An OSHA person, compliance officer, shows up. It's not in your best interest to piss the person off. It really isn't. You want to piss them off real quick? I'll tell you how to piss them off real quick. Don't give them the paperwork when they ask for it. Right off the bat, that's an issue. So, and let's remember, this is a rolling average here, right? A rolling thing, right? It's, in other words, most companies go out there and they say, January 1st, let's get together the OSHA 300 log and do what we're supposed to do and impose them, blah, 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 blah. So by like the second week of January, everything's done from the previous year. However, let's say it's like June of the year, of the current year, and you've had injuries and illnesses. I had to go on the 300 log, 300A, accident report, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? That's going to be on there also, right? Because that's a current thing. So you got to keep it throughout the year. Basically, when it gets to January 1st or 2nd, all that you should be doing is verifying the information on there, having a executive at the company sign it. It's not very hard. Here, really, it's not very hard. So let's go on through and see what the next surprise is here. Boom, boom, boom. All right. So here we have the inspection detail here. All right, that's there. So here we have serious, willful, repeat. I don't think that's right, $194,691
here with this. So that's where that number comes from in the settlement. Initially, that's basically, they didn't really contest that, is what it looks like. This is 1910.23. This is a ladder violation. They came back with probably multiple people here. The employer did not ensure that ladders are inspected before the initial use in each work shift, and more frequently when necessary, to identify any visible defects. An employer was exposed to fall hazard while standing on the top of a step ladder. All right. With that, again, ladder inspection program, not done. Right? Here we have another one. Another walking and working surface one. Except that's provided elsewhere in this section, the employer did not ensure that each employee on a walking and working surface with an unprotected side edge that's 4 feet or more above a lower level is protected from falling by one or more of the systems described. Okay. Great. The employees who are using the designated rear door exit were exposed to fall hazard approximately 4'8" from a loading dock. Again, general industry, 4 feet for fall protection. And again, walking working surface. Employees were not able to open an exit door from the inside at all times without keys, tools, or special knowledge. Front entrance exit door. The designated front exit door had an exterior metal roll-up security door installed that was closed and locked with a key-operated padlock on the door while employees were inside performing baking operations. This condition would prevent employees from exiting the building in the event of an emergency. Here we have another one. Exit routes were not kept free and unobstructed. The side and rear exit route from the building were blocked by a metal gate 9 feet in height that was locked with a chain and combination lock. I mean, this stuff still goes on. Here we have a lockout tagout. The employer did not provide each authorized employee performing a monthly service on the equipment with the hardware needed to do the work. Right, lockout tagout. We had to have another lockout tagout violation. These are all been labeled serious here. The employer did not provide training to ensure that purpose and function of the energy control program are understood by employees, and that the knowledge and skills required for the safe application, usage, and removal of the energy controls are required by employees. Again, if they gave them training, it was ineffective. Okay, this one is a willful. Design and construction requirements for exit routes. Employees are not able to open an exit route door from the inside at all times without keys, tools, or special knowledge. The designated front exit door had an exterior metal roll-up security door installed that was closed and locked by a key-operated padlock while the people were inside the building. This was a $70,000 initial fine here. And here we have a repeat. Let's see, what's the repeat? Dohoffer shall have the entire opening protected with substantial grid-type guards to prevent an employee from getting his hands caught in moving parts. This is the thing that led to the amputation. And here's another willful. Exit routes blocked, right? Again, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't. Here. Why? Why? Are you kidding me? That's all I have to say. Are they kidding? We're going to do one of these days since we're getting into summer on first jobs for kids and the workforce. And we'll talk about that here. Good time to take a break. We're going to do some music here, and we will get back to you. Sorry about that. Not playing here. Hold on. We gotta do this. Sorry about that.
Black top stretch, but there's no sound. Underneath, the earth falls down. Forgotten veins left long untamed. Now Route 8 is sunk in shame. Cars are stranded, chaos flies. The cracks reveal where danger lies. A hungry mouth swallows it whole. The road's a beast with no control. Holes in the ground, they're pulling us on. Shadows of men who dug too deep left their scars where the earth does weep. Rushing wheels now pay the toll on a road with a fractured soul. No warning signs, just borrowed time. The hidden past now climbs the climb. A history that won't stay buried by the weight the earth was carried. Holes in the ground, they're pulling us under. Built on mines where greed did plunder. Route 80 is a ghost, it's breaking apart. Abandoned dreams, tearing highways hard.
And, yeah, how much longer are we going to be able to use that song? Because I probably to the end of June, the way things are going. So this is from New Jersey 101.5. Here. By the way, New Jersey 101.5 is like the state radio station here. Two lanes on Route 80 eastbound at exit 34 are on track to open late Wednesday night for the first time since March, despite an all-day rain. New Jersey Department of Transportation said the right lane and shoulder will be used as travel lanes with a 40-mile-per-hour speed limit once the road reopens. Spokesman Steve Shapiro told New Jersey 101.5 that the asphalt cooling and hardening was completed Tuesday, along with the striping in the lanes. The last stage is the installation of a construction barrier and pinning it in place. Work equipment must also be mobilized and moved. You know, and that's what's going on. So if it's not today, then for tomorrow morning rush hour here. I tell you what, it was, when did it get closed? Right after Christmas last year with that. I mean, it's a big, huge, thing, guys. I mean, here, you know, incredible is all I have to say with this. And by the way, not the only road with a problem. Garden State Parkway has an issue also with sinkholes here. What else do we have? All right, What do I want to finish up with? So we could have easily played the Newark Airport song because here we go. The CEOs of 10 major airlines wrote an open letter to members of Congress. You know what? I have a copy of that letter. Hold on. Here. Where is it? Where is it? Right here. Right, this is from Airlines for America. I imagine, I'm sharing this because they put it out there, right? They want this note. Airlines for America, we connect the world. An open letter to Congress from U.S. airline CEOs. Dear members of Congress, this is dated today, May 21st. As Americans prepare for the Memorial Day weekend getaways and look toward busy summer travel season, and amid an increased reliance on daily cargo shipments, we are writing to ask Congress to take bold action and rebuild America's aging air traffic control system. Earlier this month, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced a comprehensive plan for the federal government to make meaningful investments in our national airspace. His plan received strong support from the Modern Skies Coalition, a broad coalition comprised of more than 50 aviation organizations, which emphasized the dire necessity to address antiquated technology and the staffing shortage. Now is time for Congress to do its part and provide much-needed resources and turn the plan into reality. Here is why. We must build on our safety record. Aviation remains the safest mode of transportation in the United States, but for it to remain so, serious upgrades need to happen now. In 2023, under the Biden's administration, let's point that out, the FAA safety review team found that the air traffic control shortage and inefficient operations are eroding the margins of safety. This is unacceptable. U.S. airlines, our pilots, flight attendants, technicians, and ground employees will never compromise on safety. Congress must do the same. Upgrading to a new system is a prudent use of taxpayer dollars. Right now, it's more expensive to continue supporting the technology and equipment from the 1980s than it is to buy a new ATC system. 92% of the FAA's facilities and equipment budget goes towards the maintenance of these outdated systems. As the Secretary himself has said, it's like continuing to pour money into an old clunker of a car. At some point, it makes more financial sense to buy a new car. We're past that point. The current system is failing Americans. From the January 2023 NOTAM failure to recent outages causing disruptions in Newark, and they don't mention here Denver also, right, Colorado, Americans are feeling the impact beyond delayed and canceled flights. Our airlines are having to fly fewer flights in busy areas like New York City airspace to accommodate the air traffic controller shortage. This means fewer choices for consumers. Understandably, the FAA slows down and spaces out the number of flights in congested airspace to maintain an incredible high level of safety. So that's another control, right, that we have built into the system, right? Fewer number of flights. However, that negatively impacts efficiency and high performance and the customer experience, which airlines are often penalized for, right? The FAA's current technology is wildly out of date. Air traffic controllers should not be operating with corroded copper wiring, floppy disks, and physical strips of paper with flight numbers. Improving technology is critical to recruiting the air traffic controllers of the future. I have a comment to make on this. Our controllers are doing an amazing job under stressful working conditions. They do not need the added stress of potential technology failures. Aviation is an industry of innovation, and the FAA needs the ability to procure 21st century equipment and transformational technology solutions to efficiently and strategically handle 21st century flight volumes. Now, let me explain this. What am I going to say? When you go and you're going to update this stuff, realize that you're banging people out of what's probably the skills mode here, the Jens Rasmussen skills mode, and what are you doing? You're putting them into the into another mode, higher error rates. Well, really, Jim? Higher error? Yes, you may be putting them into higher error rates. So when you change the system over from one system to another, expect there to be problems because they got to get used to using it. are we okay with those problems? That's my question. At this point, yeah, maybe cost-benefit may be worth it, but likely worth it, because now eventually there's going to be a problem here with this. And I assure you, if the Congress doesn't act and the FAA doesn't act, there will be, at this point, political fallout. FAA's current technology out of date, right? Aviation connects the country and the world. Our economy depends on a strong aviation system. Every day, U.S. airlines operate 27,000 flights carrying 2.7 million travelers, 61,000 tons of cargo, while supporting 10 million U.S. jobs. We're proud of this work. Don't want government inaction to hinder growth, airlines, competitiveness, or Americans' confidence in our airspace. We thank President Trump and Secretary Duff for their acute attention to this issue. Going on with that, and that's what we got. And it says, let's get this done. What do you think on all this? You know, I think it's, this is embarrassing. This is like embarrassing here. So I'm getting a lot of messages over one of the social media things. Let's see what we have going on here. Do I not have audio or something? Who knows? One attendee. Okay. What do we got going on here? Boom, boom, boom. All right. No comments here. Worth. But anyway, somebody was in there. Anyway. Boom, boom, boom. You know, I don't know. They got to do something about this. So I'm going to, was there anything else? Yeah, they're saying this is from MSN.com. Summer is usually boom time for airlines. This year is going to be the year of hell, right? One issue after another has cut into passenger demand. Air traffic control problems are causing flight delays and cancellations, feeding into travelers' worries over safety. That began in January with the worst U.S. air crash in decades. Global trade war and other economic concerns are driving down the value of the dollar, making overseas travel more expensive. With that, and also Real ID and backups with that, Real ID, I mean, no, I don't know. They've only had like 20 years to prepare for it. How could you, how can you expect people to prepare for that? With that, again, lack of preparation by the authorities, lack of whatever. Anyway, that's all I got for tonight. I am going to be signing off, and we will see you tomorrow on Safety Wars. God willing, we'll try to do 3 shows this week, and. Okay, hold on, and here we're trying to share this. Oh, here it is. Okay. We're on this different platform than last night because I think the audio issues are a little bit less of a problem here. So that's what's going on. I'll see you tomorrow. Let's go for it. Bear with me. Been a long day, love folks.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.